Welcome to Ruby Riders Pegging Paradise podcast number 154. It's February 10th, 2017, and we are changing the world one ass at a time. Since my last podcast, I have received the following: a one-time donation of $25 from Working On It, who, by the way, experienced his very first pegging recently, and we're going to have his story a little later for you. I also have some new patrons. This is actually a previous patron, John No Pants, increased his pledge from $3 to $5 a month. Thank you, John No Pants. Ernie signed up for $5 a month. Thank you so much, Ernie. Bash, B-A-S-H, became my patron for $1 a month. Thank you for that pledge, Bash. And last but not least, Tickle Basher pledged $50 a month. Thank you so much for that amazingly generous pledge. Thank you all. I really appreciate it. If anybody listening is interested in becoming my patron, they can go to Patreon, patreon.com/RubyRider. Or if you want to make a one-time donation, there is now a PayPal button on the right-hand side of my website under Support My Work. So, let's see here. Announcement. I am teaching a couple of classes, Advanced and Beginning Pegging, in Long Beach, Sunday, February 12th. And you can find the link for that in my Linkorama. It's been kind of interesting with this particular class because I post the class in a lot of different places, of course. And I can't tell you how many people have written and asked me if I'm going to have live pegging there. And actually, most of the queries have been hoping that I would actually lead them through pegging. And in other words, they come with a partner and I'm kind of like a sex coach and I lead them through it. So just to be clear here, I teach about pegging. I do education. There are never any live demos and I'm not a sex coach. I know friends of mine who are a sex coach who would be happy to lead you through that, but that's not what I do. So anyway, it's just kind of interesting that this class got so many people who wrote in. You know, I could basically have a spontaneous pegging party if I wanted to, but that's just really not my deal. So again, Sunday, February 12th in Long Beach, a couple of classes. The link's going to be in the Linkorama. Okay, so what better way to start the podcast than pegging celebration time? My story is not your typical boy meets girl, girl fucks boy kind of story. I have been with my wife for over 25 years. For the first few years, our sex life was quite active. However, over the years, our sexual activity decreased and has been very limited over the last 15 years. Our sex over the last few years was infrequent, brief, and routine. In addition, our non-sex life was becoming less supportive and more confrontational. In summary, our relationship was troubled, both sexually and emotionally. Over the years, my outlet for my sexual frustrations was masturbation. While masturbating, I fantasized about pegging, sex with other people, cuckolding, and about another fetish of mine, cross-dressing. I first wore girls' panties when I was a teen, and I've always wanted to pursue cross-dressing further. So I guess I might be described as bisexual, slightly submissive cross-dresser who much prefers tits and pussy, but would also like to suck a cock every once in a while. So back to my story. Several months ago, after a frustrating sexual experience, I argued with my wife over the sexual and emotional situation we found ourselves in. After several discussions over the course of several weeks, I told her about my many fantasies, including pegging. Not surprisingly, my wife's initial reaction was shock. For several weeks, sex talk was off limits. After the shock wore off, we tried to talk things through on several occasions, and we made some progress. We also decided that I should see a sex therapist, since she believed that I was becoming a bit unhinged. The sex therapist listened to my life story, talked to me about my fantasies, and essentially told me that the way to save our relationship was to talk and try and work things out. Over the next month, I talked and sometimes argued with my wife. I asked if I could cross-dress in front of her, and I asked if she would consider pegging and other sexual activities. In addition, I asked her to listen to a couple of podcasts, including Ruby's infamous episode number 112. I had to ask quite a few times, but eventually she listened to the podcasts. In the last month, I continued to bring up our issues, and we talked some more, and we argued some more. While we often argued when I brought these subjects up, I also believe that we made some progress, kind of a one step back, one and a half steps forward. Incredibly, last Saturday, after a nice dinner, my wife asked if I would like to be pegged. I almost fell over. We went to the bedroom where she proceeded to peg me in a kind of clumsy, awkward, but wonderful fashion. The next day, I asked her how it was for her, and she replied that it was, quote, kind of fun, end quote, and that she, quote, sort of, end quote, enjoyed it. On Sunday, she gave me some of her unused pantyhose and explained why the type I had bought was not as good. She also told me that I was looking pretty good after having lost some weight. Ruby, I am under no illusion that our relationship is fixed, but I believe that the chances of fixing it are better now than they have been in some time. I think that opening up the lines of communication, discussing the dark secrets, seeing a therapist, and listening to your words on episode number 112 helped my wife and I open up the lines of communication. And, on a physical level, I got fucked in two new pairs of pantyhose. And he signs it, working on it. Oh my goodness. So as many of you listening will see here, many times the path to exploring your fantasies and exploring the pegging thing with your partner is anything but smooth. And sometimes relationships start off in a really bad place and you're fantasizing about pegging and you really want to try it. And it takes a lot to get to that point because the underlying relationship needs so much work. Thank you so much for sharing all this information with us so openly because, again, it really helps everyone listening to hear the real story behind it as opposed to some fantasy of, oh yeah, I asked her and then she fucked me. So yes, relationships absolutely take work. I totally respect the persistence that you have and the willingness on both of your parts to continue working on it, even though it wasn't at all easy from how it sounds. I had to laugh a little bit when you said she fucked you in a kind of clumsy, awkward way, but wonderful. Definitely that word was in there. Well, any woman who's never fucked anyone else is going to be clumsy and awkward the first time. But how lovely that she asked you, that she made it happen, because she understood this was something that you really enjoy. And also, to offer you the pantyhose and give you a compliment after you lost the weight, that is just so sweet. Yes. So many signs of healing there. Kudos to both of you. Kudos to both of you for putting so much effort into this. Her willingness to listen to the podcast that you recommended and to explore with you and try and find a sexual relationship with you that works without pretending that there are things in the background that don't exist that she doesn't want to hear about. So that's her kudos, is the willingness to open up and talk about these things and engage in them, and yours to divulge them and to actually express them to her. So you guys are doing such great work. Congratulations on your first pegging, and I feel confident that it's going to get nothing but better. I think you guys need a lot of practice in all areas of the things you're exploring. I'd also be curious to see if there were any things that she had been fantasizing about over the years. You have divulged all of yours, but I have found myself being curious if there were things that she had been thinking about and been a little too shy to tell you about. Anyway, thank you again for sharing that story with us, and have fun. Happy pegging to you both. Okay, this was a comment left on my pegging101.com website on the article Prostate Orgasm. I can't figure out how to make this work. My girlfriend is dead set against it, and I can't procure any official toys to work with. What can I do? Well, that's not a whole lot of information, but I'll do the best I can to answer that question. Your girlfriend is dead set against it. The very first thing I would recommend, of course, is that she listen to podcast number 112. If she's willing to at least listen to it, that will give you what I believe is the best chance for her to see what you're asking for on a little bit of a deeper level. And you need to listen to it first to make sure that it's appropriate for her, because only you can make that decision. But then you go on to say, I can't procure any official toys to work with. I don't know what would be preventing you from procuring official toys, as you call them, to work with. You can order those online. You can go to a local sex toy shop. There's all kinds of advice on great stuff to buy in all of my podcasts and on my website. So as far as not being able to get any toys, I don't have enough information to know what you mean on that, because it's really not that difficult to buy sex toys. So start off with podcast number 112 and write me back and tell me what you meant about how you can't get any toys. Then maybe we'll go from there. Good luck to you, sir, and thanks for the comment. Okay, this next letter was a comment left on my blog post for podcast number 151. First, I'd just like to say thanks for everything you do. My girlfriend and I have found your website and podcast to be very helpful in our recent explorations of my ass. Podcast number 112 really helped both of us get more comfortable with the idea of everything before we even started light anal play. Pegging has been a fantasy of mine since my teens, but I never thought I'd actually be lucky enough to find a willing person and trust them enough to violate me. So thank you. This was another great podcast episode full of insights. The lady and I just got a WeVibe Sync and the Fun Factory Tiger and Bouncer for the spare parts Jacques harness I secretly bought for my birthday months ago. The Tiger and Bouncer are both still too advanced for me, but there's something to look forward to. The WeVibe pairs great with the harness and few dongs we have, though. My reason for commenting is that you mentioned the WeVibe 4 in this episode. You might have had specific reasons not to mention the newer Sync, but we are told from several sources that the Sync is a great evolution of the 4. My queen works at an adult toy shop. She never used the 4, but she hears often from customers how the Sync is a nice improvement. Also, be on the lookout for more of these clip-in style toys from Lilo. Okay, one of the first things I laughed at when I read your first paragraph was you said you never thought you'd actually be lucky enough to find a willing person and trust them enough to violate me. How interesting that you use that word, violate me. That seems to play into your fantasies, because it's not a typical word to use, violate. So maybe there's something in your fantasy about being forcefully taken. Anyway, that word jumped out at me because I do have a love affair with words. So to go on to the equipment discussion. Yes, well, what happened was I was all set to go to the Anime Show, Adult Novelty Manufacturers Expo, which is where I would have found out about the WeVibe Sync. And my sister passed away, so I missed that show, and I didn't go, and I would have found out about it then. But I did recently talk with Tiffany, and on this last podcast, number 153, I did talk a little bit about the WeVibe Sync. The WeVibe Sync is a new evolution of the WeVibe, you know, 1 through 4s, and what makes it special and different than the previous incarnations of the WeVibe is that it has two places where you can bend it and lock it. So it's very adjustable. And you refer to that as kind of a clip-in style toy. So we offer three kinds of WeVibes. The first one is the Sync that we've been talking about. And that has two adjustable points to better target the G-spot and the clitoris. And so it's very modifiable to exactly what your body is like. There's a remote control that works up to 3 meters away, and it also has the WeConnect app so that you can control it on your phone at distance. And then we have the WeVibe 4, and that one has everything except the adjustable points. So it's pretty much the same as the Sync, but the Sync has been evolved to include those adjustable points. And then last but not least, we also offer the WeVibe Unite, and that's kind of like a simpler and budget model because it's the same WeVibe 4 shape, but it has a simpler remote and it does not include the WeConnect app, and that's at a lower price. So we offer those three in the WeVibe section, and I'll put the link for all of those in the Linkorama. Thanks for sharing that there's been some good reviews on the Sync. I've been waiting to hear about that. Alrighty, this letter was from the forum. Your latest podcast reignited my interest in slings, either building or buying one. The problem is that there are several different designs, and I'm not sure which would be the best and most effectively flexible. It seems like there are two main designs, the single sheet of material and the ones made of separate straps. You mentioned having a gym support sling and noted that it was designed around anal sex. This sounds good for pegging, but have you tried it for PIV? And that's an acronym for penis and vagina. Does it adjust so you could use it ass up, face down as well? Plus, side of this design seems to be that you don't have to worry about the sling slipping during use because it's all one piece. Although there is a webbed type that is similar that I found instructions for. There are also multi-piece slings. I can't remember where I found it, but I have a PDF called Build Your Own Multi-Piece Advanced Sex Sling, sadly no author information, that has separate padded straps supporting your head, behind your shoulders, on your buttocks, and on your thighs. At first this sounds nice and flexible, but I'm a bit worried it will turn out to be too fussy and potentially slip and be uncomfortable or drop someone on the floor. What's your recommendations and experiences of these? I'd like something flexible enough that either of us can be in the sling for PIV, pegging, anal, oral, handjobs, massage, or question mark, and ideally either face up or butt up. At the same time, I want something comfortable, secure, and easy enough to be used that we use it, and this probably trumps some of the flexibility. I'm also trying to decide on materials if I make my own. Should I use vinyl or a heavy-duty but soft synthetic fabric? Leather may be an option, but it's expensive. There's also a sit sling that Sartan has instructions for that looks like it might be interesting for missionary-type pegging. Maybe make that as well? Well, there are a lot of questions there, and you dove down the rabbit hole of slings, sir. This is interesting. The only sling I have any experience with is the gym support sling. I got it because it is portable. It can actually be broken down and put in a duffel bag. It's a heavy duffel bag, but it's absolutely portable. It's amazing what it breaks down to. In my experience so far, it has been incredibly secure. It can easily be used for PIV, and they have pictures on the gym support website of doing ass up. And basically, it's just a person who is standing and then leaning over the sling portion of it. Now, you know, there's going to be some bend in the sling because the sling is meant for you to be laying with your back and it's kind of curved. You could put a pillow there, you could do a number of things, but that is how they show it being used. So you can do the ass up, face down thing leaning over the main support section of the sling. Now, multi-piece slings, all kinds of things, I don't know really much about them, so what's my recommendation and experiences of these? I don't have any, because it's not like I've tried out every single sling and then got rid of the ones that I didn't like and decided on the gym support one. I looked at all the reviews and I decided that this one was good, and also I have a friend who has one who set it up for me and said, check this out, and I was really impressed. So that's how I decided on the gym support one, because I got to see it in person. And he had all kinds of good things to say about it, as well as having used it quite a bit for pegging. I decided on a canvas cover for the cushion because what I end up doing is throwing a Liberator throw on there every time I use it. So I just throw that on there to protect the canvas cushion. Leather is a little more finicky, and leather is not sterilizable. It's a little bit more difficult to keep clean. So that's why I decided against it. Plus, it's a little more expensive. So you got me interested in all these different slings again. And I did run across the one where it's like a sit sling. And that doesn't look very comfortable. And it does look like it could be pretty fussy. The one that your description reminded me of, though, is one made by Stockroom.com. And that one has this leather padded cushion that goes around the back of your neck and then attaches through a collection of chains and straps to cuffs that go around your ankles and cuffs that go around your thighs. And what it does is it enables you to either lay back and have your legs pulled apart and totally supported so you can really relax. And I think that that would be awesome for trying to achieve the prostate orgasm, right? Or It will also allow you to be on your hands and knees, and it won't allow you to get up. In other words, it reduces the distance from your knees to your head, if you will, so that you're on your hands and knees with your head down and you can't extend your body, which kind of is hot too. I have always lusted after this harness because it just seems like such a fun thing to be able to take with you traveling too, because it seems like the perfect thing to take to hotel rooms and things. I mean, I looked at the gym support sling website again, and it says that this can be taken to hotel rooms, which is absolutely true. If you had enough room in your hotel room, you could set this up in a hotel room, and you can definitely take it to play parties. So it is very portable. And I should tell you that regarding the gym support sling, here is exactly what I got. I got the full kit that had the support frame. I chose the tall as opposed to the classic because I'm 5'11 barefoot. When I've got a pair of high heels on, I'm pretty tall. And they make a tall frame and they also make a beefy frame. Didn't think I'd need the beefy one because it actually can hold like 350 pounds or something. So the beefy one didn't appeal to me. However, the tall one did. So I got the tall model of the frame and it came with a padded canvas sling, two straps, they're nylon straps, for the ankles, okay? And I also got two extra things. I got the mirror. There's like this parabolic sort of curved mirror that you can attach to the underside of the top of the frame so that the person laying there, if you angle the mirror correctly, can watch themselves getting fucked. It's totally awesome. So I got that just for fun. And also I got a lube holder because they think of everything. They have all kinds of extras. So I got all of those. And it does come with a canvas bag that you can break all this down and put it into. Well, you can't put the mirror in there, but you can break it down and make it portable. So that is what I purchased and I couldn't be more happy with it. It is so infinitely adjustable. It's really quite delightful. It does stay up most of the time, but you can break it down really easily. So in terms of it being something that is easy to use, it's not that tough to put it up. I think it does depend on how motivated you are. I think if your guy is really wanting to get fucked, and he's very motivated to have that sucker up in about 10 minutes. So there's that. You know, actually, I'm going to post a video from Gym Support of two guys putting it up in 3.5 minutes. Now, if you're putting it up on your own, I imagine it would take about 5. So, you know, I thought it would take 10, but not really. So take a look at that video if you're curious as to what it looks like and how it all fits together. So as far as the travel sling from Stockroom is concerned, I'm going to put that link on the Linkorama too. And if anybody decides they want to be my sex sling fairy and grab that for me, I would be most appreciative. Oh my goodness, I have lusted after that for years. And you know, they have the cheap knockoffs all over the place, but when you really take a look at them and take a look at the difference, you can see why they're cheaper. So I keep going back to that Stockroom model. Anyway, I'll put the link to it in the Linkorama. I believe what they call it is the Travel Sling Stirrup Combo. And of course, it shows this gorgeous redhead in it, but that's not what I picture when I picture using that sling harness combo. And it does look really fun for restraining purposes. Listen to me, I'm tripping over my words thinking about it, getting all excited. Anybody out there who has experience in making slings, and you're really happy with what you've made or what you've bought, I encourage anybody to send their information in and I will spread it around. But the sling world is fun. Oh my gosh, it's effortless. It's amazing. I highly recommend it. So yes, all those links are going to be in the Linkorama. So thanks for writing in with all of those questions. Let me see if I covered them all before I sign you off here. So you said, I'd like something flexible enough that either of us can be in the sling for PIV, pegging, anal, oral, handjobs, massage, or whatever. The only one of those that I see that really wouldn't be best facilitated by the gym support sling would be massage. It's just you're not really in a position for massage. It's not like you can lay face down over it and be perfectly comfortable. You can, as I mentioned, stand and put the top of your body over the body of the sling, and probably would be more comfortable if you put a pillow underneath to make up for that curve, but massage is not something that I would choose to do with it. Anal, oral, hand jobs, yeah, you can do all of those quite easily. So there you go. Anyway, write in, everybody, if you have your favorite sling story, sling pattern, sling favorite. Thanks for those questions and diving down the sling rabbit hole. That's it for slings, everybody. Okay, this was an email, and the subject line was orgasm without cum. Hey, Ruby, I found you from the podcast you did with Sex Nerd Sandra and was surprised to find out that you run the Pegging 101 site. The podcast was awesome, by the way, and now I'm downloading a bunch of yours. My boyfriend and I actually used your site religiously when we started pegging a bit ago and loved the info there. I had a pegging session the other day, though, and something different happened. My boyfriend said he thought he was orgasming and said he had this full body orgasm like he never has had before, and then was surprised when I told him that he hadn't actually come. Is that normal? Thanks for your time in advance. Lindsay, a curious pegger. So, Lindsay, your boyfriend experienced not only a full body orgasm, but a non-ejaculatory orgasm as well, and that happens sometimes. There are some very interesting differentiations between different kinds of prostate orgasms. The people that do the best in terms of differentiation are the forum at aneros.com. That's where they talk about it the most, and that's where they have the best sources, because I have all these guys there talking about different kinds of orgasms. So there are a bunch of different things that can happen with prostate orgasms. And sometimes it's a combined orgasm because there's penile stimulation too, and sometimes it's just the hands-free orgasm with just the prostate stimulation. I have had it happen before with partners where they tell me, oh my God, I feel like I just had this huge orgasm, and no ejaculate comes out at all. Is that normal? Well, let's just throw out the word normal. It's not something bad that happens. It's a great thing. Clearly, he had a wonderful time, and there's nothing to worry about that there was no ejaculate. It's just what happens sometimes. So calm yourself about that in case you have any concerns. It does seem to be combined with that whole full body orgasm experience more often than with the more cock and prostate centered orgasms. So that's kind of the information I have. I really encourage anyone who's interested in this to go to the forums and ask questions there. And I'm going to put the link for that forum in my Linkorama. But congratulations, because this is something that people try to attain and sometimes never get to. It's like the same thing as like a G-spot orgasm for a woman. Some women have those and some women don't. So just like that with men, some men have the full body orgasm, some don't. Some have the non-ejaculatory orgasm, some don't. The thing that I like the best about these different kinds of orgasms and what I like about the whole pegging experience, what I have discovered, is that often after an orgasm has been attained in whatever manner, whether it is hands-free with just the pegging or whether it is combined with penile stimulation, that if you just sit with that for a while and let it all calm down after the orgasm and then you start fucking again and doing the pegging, it is not unusual for a man to have another orgasm. And even if he doesn't have another orgasm and it just feels amazingly good, well, why not do some more and have it feel amazingly good? So I encourage you to experiment with that, everybody out there, because an orgasm so often signals the end point. Okay, you're done. And maybe you don't want to continue having more penile stimulation because very often cocks get so sensitive after you have an orgasm. But if you just want to really slowly and gently keep doing more pegging and find out if that's something that feels good, I encourage you to explore in that territory. Thank you for writing in, Lindsay. It sounds like you two are having a lovely time. Okay, and I've got a update letter from someone who I have talked about in podcast number 142 and 147. Hi, Ruby. Thank you for taking the time to respond to my concerns. At my second encounter with Mark, I was alone and expected to be less inhibited, but it did not work out that way. Without my wife directing, it didn't feel right. I had expected her to join me for my third meet, but she suggested instead that I would perform better if I was dressed as a woman. I was reluctant because I had experimented with cross-dressing as a teen, but she insisted. Boy, did the old feelings and urges come back, and then some. Over the last 2 months, adopting a feminine persona through cross-dressing has made it much easier for me to have sex with men. In fact, I now look forward to pleasing men. In my two previous posts, I insisted that I was aroused by cocks and not men. That all changed after I started cross-dressing, and especially when Mark introduced me to Robert. I found myself attracted to Robert's masculine features as well as his cock, and couldn't wait to be with him. I've also had sex with Julie, a gorgeous transvestite Mark also introduced me to. As both Mark and Robert are strictly tops, Julie is the only person I have gotten to become truly intimate with, and I enjoy having sex with her, both giving and receiving. On the home front, my wife has incorporated cross-dressing into our pegging sessions. She also calls me by a feminized version of my name and teases to turn me into a sissy slut, which excites me immensely. She doesn't think we should return to straight sex just yet, as she feels doing so now would disrupt the progress I've made exploring my sexuality. She feels that a truly bisexual male is someone who at some point in his life can fulfill both his short and long-term sexual needs with gay sex. She thinks while I've done well with the short-term needs, I have yet to demonstrate I can fulfill my long-term needs in the same manner. She also maintains that many submissive men have cross-dressing urges and/or feminization fantasies, and that I should not be stressed nor ashamed by it. Do you agree with this? Also, my wife doesn't think I'm ready just yet to have Mark come in my mouth, so we are looking for an ejaculating strap-on to practice this experience. She would like something sturdy that does not clog easily, without exposed wires or tubing that preferably can be activated by squeezing the testicles rather than a handheld bulb. Do you have a model you could recommend? She wants to start out with synthetic ejaculate at first and gradually add semen to slowly acclimate me to the experience. Any thoughts on this? Regards. Wow, there is so much here. You have shared so much. Okay, let me go back to the first part here. Cross-dressing and adopting the feminine persona, good for you. It's lovely to hear how much you are enjoying that and how that kind of changed things for you and made you more open to having sex with men. So what gave me pause a little bit is that your wife... let me read that part again, that she feels that a truly bisexual male is someone who at some point in his life can fulfill both his short and long-term sexual needs with gay sex. I caution the use of truly bisexual male. Whenever I hear someone use that, like a real dominant woman or a truly dominant woman, and then there's a definition there, I think it's more accurate to say that that is the opinion of the person who's saying that. That's her definition. So if you agree with that and you're agreeing with all of the stuff that she wants you to do, then clearly you guys are having a lovely time because it sounds like you're having so much fun. And that's fine. But to define it as, okay, all guys who are a truly bisexual guy have to go through this period and sort of prove themselves, it sounds more like what she's doing is kind of testing you and having fun with putting you through these experiences, which you seem to be totally fine with. Now, the part about she maintains that many submissive men have cross-dressing urges or feminization fantasies and that you shouldn't be stressed nor ashamed by it. I absolutely agree with that. Cross-dressing is awesome. If you haven't listened to it already, try listening to podcast number 131. I encouraged all my cross-dressing men who love pegging to write in and tell me their stories, and the entire podcast is cross-dressers. So should you be stressed or ashamed by it? Absolutely not. If it's something that you like, if it's something that she likes, then have fun with it. There's no need for shame. Shame is the silent saboteur of sexual satisfaction. So let it go. Get rid of it. And so the last part of your letter was talking about a very interesting plan by your wife to incorporate cum slowly but surely into an ejaculating dildo. So the only ejaculating dildo that I would recommend, because it's made out of really good material, it's body safe, it's non-toxic, is the pop dildo. That does not have an option of squeezing the testicle so that it comes. I don't know of any ejaculating dildos that have that option. If there are any out there, I would question the materials they're made out of, because previous to the pop dildo, the only good quality ejaculating dildos that I knew of were made by Bad Dragon. But I don't think that Bad Dragon has a squeeze the testicles option either. So I can't help you with that recommendation, but she's looking for a synthetic ejaculate that you can gradually add real semen to acclimate you to the experience. Okay, so the things that I do for you people, I love this kind of research. I found a page for you that talks about how to make cum or substitute cum. And so I'm going to put the link in the Linkorama. It actually has a recipe to make cum, so that one is edible. And I think the other two are somewhat edible as well, but there's three recommendations. So check through those and see if any of them meet your criteria. You can actually make it from a recipe. Anyway, I found this page for you about how to make fake cum. So if you get the pop dildo, which I'm also going to put a link to in the Linkorama, it does have a bulb, it doesn't have the testicles that squeeze, but it's, you know, it's body safe, non-toxic, and it's an amazing toy. And the thing is, this is what always gets my imagination going. You can put anything in there. I still have a fantasy and have not done it yet to have a Mai Tai in there, some kind of alcoholic drink or some kind of chocolatey thing for dessert or something like that, and just play with it. Because this is a toy that was designed by Stephanie Berman to impregnate her wife, okay? And so it actually works that way. It can do that. But after developing this ejaculating dildo for that purpose, she recognized that there were all kinds of other fun things to do with it. And I think you and your wife, sir, have come up with one more way to have some fun with it in her quest to acclimate you to the taste of semen. I would also encourage you to please be safe in all of your play with people. Recognize that if you are swallowing semen, probably good to have all those tests done and make sure you know who you're playing with and that they are clear of any STDs, STIs. Thank you so much for giving us the update. It sounds like you two are having loads of fun, pun intended. Okay, moving right along here. Okay, so we have another pegging celebration time. Give you an update from podcast number 129. This past weekend marks the dawn of a new age in my life as my wonderful wife finally pegged me for the first time. A little more background on me. I'm not a typical macho male. I hate sports, but rather love the finer things, such as a fine cuisine, art, museums, and good conversations. For many years, I hid from my wife the fact that I love to wear lingerie, as it makes me feel beautiful, and you ladies get all the nice fabrics that feel so very nice. As my wife has been more accepting of this since I came out to her about this, we have slowly explored new ways of intimate expression. While we were at Target shopping recently, and we saw a pair of very shiny panties that we both loved, and from the shape I knew it would make my ass look great. She has always loved my ass. So as we were getting into things, and she played with the fabric on me, we began some very fun, sensual talk, which led to me again expressing to her my desire to have something in my ass. I have a butt plug that I very much enjoy, but she mentioned the strap-on. Yes, please. She put it on, and the sight of her was so hot, we kissed and stroked each other for a while. And she really did make quite a mess of me in the process, as I was so turned on with the prospect. We started doggy style while I talked her through getting it in for the first time. We laughed at our struggles, but eventually she was in and slowly made her way deeper into me. Her hands were all over my cheeks as she slowly penetrated me. Then she put her hands on my hips and began to thrust deeper until I could feel the base all the way up against me. She started to thrust hard a few times, and I could see myself taking a real pounding, but I did not want that my first time. Let me tell you, she is a real natural. Her moves were perfect and nearly made me come. I wanted to have her lay down while I rode cowboy, so we changed the position. More laughs, but eventually we were there again, enjoying each other. As I got into a good rocking motion, she began to thrust her hips into me, and I could really feel her getting into it. Again, a pure natural. I knew I could come hands-free, but she wanted to stroke me. Who am I to argue? I exploded all over her, drenching her bra and chest with more cum than I had ever produced for her. I could have easily kept riding her, as it still felt amazing, and I was just as erect. She had been so good to me that I went to quickly wash my hands and rub her to orgasm. We talked the next day, and she said she really had fun. Mostly, what we ended up talking about was how we both felt so emotionally connected. She saw how much I wanted it and how much pleasure I got, and I felt that she finally got me. After 13 years of marriage, we had finally met, and it was like I had my virginity taken in a way that I wanted to give her. She then confided that she really wanted a garter belt on me, so she would have something to grab onto from behind. Perhaps next time, but I am more than content with the simplicity of our first session. It has been a long road. I will note that she refused to listen to podcast number 112, but wanted to explore for herself this side of us. I will further say that your advice on positive talk and reassurance has been so very helpful as we have delved into this aspect of our personal intimacy. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Your podcast has advised me to a place in my marriage that I've always wanted to be. While we have always been best of friends, we have not always been the best of lovers. A new chapter begins, Joshua. Oh, wow, what a story. That is so awesome. I love the laughter. I encourage people when they're exploring pre-pegging and when they do the first pegging, please do not inhibit yourself and squelch the laughter, because a lot of it can be quite funny. You know, the clumsiness, the awkwardness, the, oh, we're doing this for the first time and this is really bizarre and we're not really sure how to work this. And I like you talking about how you guided her to get it in you for the first time. It's great. I love hearing that the guys are giving advice to their partners, because we need it. As long as you're doing it in a helpful, informational manner, then it's just really nice. Because again, I've said a zillion times, we're not used to fucking things, okay? How lovely to hear that she was a natural and just seemed to really know how to move. That's always a delight. You did a great job of explaining what I try and convey to my listeners about the emotional connection and that deepening of intimacy. I like how you talked about that, because you mentioned how you both felt so emotionally connected. And I love, love, love hearing stories about this, because this is part of why I do this, is because that level of connection and emotional intimacy is pretty profound, and it brings couples closer together and to a place that they've never been before with that deepening of intimacy. So yeah, thank you for describing that, because that's something that I think is a big part of pegging for most couples who try it. I'm totally on board with the garter belt suggestion. Make sure that she gets one that's sturdy, because it sounds like she may want to really get going with the pounding into you. She even tried that the first time. And most garter belts are not as sturdy as you would think. So make sure you get one that has some sturdiness to it, so it's not this elastic thing that doesn't give her much of a purchase, if you will. The other thing I would suggest is, because she does seem to want to pound into you, if you get a dildo that is short enough to where she can bury it to the hilt inside you and you still don't feel like it's bottoming out, even when she slams into you, that can facilitate that really vigorous thrusting. If you have a longer dildo, it might be a little bit more difficult, because pushing into that sphincter at the end of the rectal canal can sometimes be very uncomfortable for men. And so when you have a really long dildo and you really want to get into it and thrust and feel, you know, the base of it and your thighs slapping against the guy's ass as you fuck him really hard, because that can be really fun sometimes for both parties involved, you can't do that sometimes with the longer dildos, because you bottom out and it's uncomfortable for the guy. And it's not necessarily something that he can relax into, so that's not the problem. You just need a shorter dildo. And, you know, playing with this length of dildo thing is always an interesting thing, because you want it long enough to where it can facilitate the thrusting and not fall out. As a matter of fact, I got a way cool tip from none other than Reed Mihalko. He was broadcasting live on Facebook as he took a walk, and he talked about pegging. And one of the things that he mentioned was that when he was receiving pegging, when he could feel that the dildo was pulled back on the backstroke and it was almost coming out, that actually made him nervous. That actually made it so that he could not relax. And he said if it's a little bit of a longer dildo and when you pull back, there is no fear of it falling out, that allowed him to relax more into the pegging. Because, you know, if it falls out and then you slam back in, well, who knows where that dildo is going to go. And it's just not a pleasant experience. We've all had it happen now and again. And what I didn't realize was that from the position of the receiver, that there could be some anxiety connected with that. So that was a way cool thing. Thank you. Big shout out to Reed Mihalko. I'm going to put a link to his website. Reed is a source of an amazing amount of sex and relationship information, and he's also really, really good with sex educators. He's got Sex Educator Bootcamp. I could go on and on. I think probably the best class I ever took at a CatalystCon convention was from Reed Mihalko and Kathy Vartuli, and they taught a class about how to be the best sex educator that you could be. Because they just really want to support so much this whole sex positive thing, helping all of us sex educators find our way and be the best that we could be. It was a remarkable class, and I left there so inspired with so much good information about who I am and how I want to do this. And from that class actually sprung my intention to do video shorts, to do webinars and things like that. So yes, Reed Mihalko is awesome. Kathy Vartuli is as well. I'll put links in the Linkorama to those people. Anyway, went way off on a tangent there, but the point being, pay attention to the length of the dildo here, because if she wants to get really vigorous with the dildo, know that you might need a shorter one for that to work well and be really pleasurable for you. I do find it interesting that she decided she wanted to do it her way, and she didn't really want input from podcast number 112. I'm so glad that she did it her way, because clearly that's what she needed to do. So good for her for standing up for, nope, I want to do this in my own path, and I want to figure it out myself and explore it with you without any input. It sounds like it turned out fabulously. And I found, Joshua, something from a previous message that you wrote in. You had asked, do you have any suggestions for her in terms of a G-spot orgasm? You often compare prostate orgasms to G-spot orgasms. I do not believe she has ever had one, as she really gets off fast with clitoral stimulation and really likes it. You know, G-spot orgasms are a bit of a mystery for a lot of women. Some women say that they don't have any kind of G-spot sensation at all. Some women swear that it's the best thing ever. There's absolutely nerve-filled tissue that extends from the clitoris around up into the G-spot area and also around the back of the vagina towards the anus. And so that tissue, that excitable tissue, is there, the pleasure-causing type of tissue. But at the same time, it's not like there's this perfect formula, just like there's no perfect formula for having a prostate orgasm, okay? So what I know is that when I have my G-spot stimulated, if I really relax into it, I will squirt. I don't really have much control over that. But I've never had what I would call a G-spot orgasm. In terms of comparing it to a clitoral orgasm, what I have experienced as well is when I have clitoral stimulation and I have G-spot stimulation at the same time, the resulting orgasm covers much bigger territory, just a bigger area of pleasure when I do have an orgasm. I have not experienced what women and men describe as a full-body orgasm. That has not happened to me. And if I just have G-spot stimulation with no clitoral stimulation, I've never experienced anything that feels like an orgasm to me. However, the feeling of squirting for me is amazing. There's something about it that's so releasing and so satisfying and so intimate that I love it. I totally, totally love it. So that's really the only information I have for you. I know that I had a boyfriend for a while who was quite good at knowing exactly how to stimulate it, and I teach my partners now how to do the same thing. I've also used toys that vibrate, so all of those are things to try, because who knows what she will like and what will get her off. Congratulations to you both. Okay, another email. Dear Ruby, just found your site, and it's a topic I'm really keen on. I'm a 42-year-old divorced guy with a great 31-year-old girlfriend, and she's encouraged me to explore my own ass, and it's been great. I don't get the sense she's there yet with respect to pegging, but maybe down the road. Any ideas how I might get her more interested? Heck, I'm not sure I'm even ready, but if she were into it, then I would be for sure. Your site is awesome. Best, Jamie. Okay, so if you guys are in the very beginning stages of exploring anal, I'm going to put a link in the Linkorama to an article I wrote that pretty much gives you a step-by-step way for her to explore your ass for the first time, right? But what I would suggest in general is that you two just start incorporating a little bit of ass play in your sex to start with. Just find out what it's like to stimulate each other in that place. If she wants to receive ass play as well, that's awesome. If she doesn't and she just wants to play with yours, that's awesome too. But to start off really slow, another thing that I'm going to give Reed Mihalko a shout out about was his rule for pegging. And I know you're not at pegging yet, but this also applies to the slow and gradual exploration of ass play. The slower you go, the easier it is, okay? Now, that's a really wonderful saying for pegging, but it also can apply to ass play. I would love to see couples go so slow when they start exploring ass play that they're craving it. It's sort of like, ooh, I got a little bit of that last time we fucked, but, you know, not as much as I wanted, so can we do that some more this time? And have it be something that you're craving, that you're anticipating, and that is so enjoyable. Little by little, adding a little bit, you know. First, maybe with just fingertips stimulating the outside, or tongues if you're into that. And if you want a barrier between your tongue and their ass, then the dental dams are awesome. I'll put a link for that in the Linkorama as well. And then gradually fingers. If you would rather wear gloves and not use a bare finger, that's fine too. Lots of lube. All of these things are in the article that I wrote. And eventually, small toys. So see, you can take this exploration and have it be this sort of long drawn out thing that is so exciting and is filled with so much anticipation. You could even schedule it and say, hey, you know, on Wednesdays, we're going to do ass play. So you can be thinking about it. Anticipation is a powerful thing. And then eventually, when you've gotten to the point where you're doing ass play and it's really fun and you incorporate in things, you can get a butt plug if you want. You can wear the butt plug while you fuck her. And perhaps at that point in time, in your sense of what feels like right timing, it might be a good time to introduce to her the concept of pegging. And then, of course, it's a great time for her to listen to podcast number 112. So I'll put the link to all that stuff in the Linkorama and have fun with the ass exploration. Thanks for writing in. Okay, that'll do it for today. You can find more of my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. You can also find my work at pegging101.com, where I have informational pegging articles only and no kink. My podcasts are available through iTunes and a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. Or you can stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. If you would like to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, or check out my Facebook page, click on the Follow tab on my website. When ordering awesome new toys from enticeme.com, remember to use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off your purchase. Send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too ridiculous, too irrelevant, or too remedial. Pegging Paradise podcast listeners will learn along with you, so take a deep breath, send those questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com, or call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everyone. You rock. Happy pegging.